Today's daf in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Tesfav. We begin at the very top word, very top line. And we continue a discussion about lechis that we began yesterday. The Gemara starts off and says, Itmar. The Gemara asks the following shayla. Lechi omed me'elav. If you have a lechi that's standing by itself, Rashi explains, top Rashi, shlo hukva shom l'shem tikun mavoy, delo his minu l'kach. It wasn't put there as a lechi. It wasn't made specifically for being a lechi. It just happens to be there. And you can imagine such a situation, for example, with a tree that's growing there, so the tree could function as a lechi. So that's what the Gemara is asking. If the lechi is standing there by itself, it wasn't made specifically to be a lechi. So Abai Amar, have a lechi. Abai says, probably good lechi. Rav Amar, lo have a lechi. Rav says, no, unless you made it specifically for a lechi can't come by itself. The Gemara now qualifies and says, where you didn't rely upon this from the day before, in other words, you had another lechi there, Rashi says, so a person put up a real lechi for the purposes of a lechi, and there also happened to be a tree growing over there. And he was relying upon the lechi that he put up and not the tree. And now, on Shabbos, the lechi fell down, it was removed. So in this situation, where you certainly were not relying upon it before Shabbos. So then, both Abaye and Rav, Kuliyama, lo pligi, the lo havi lechi. Everybody agrees it's not a lechi in that situation. Ki pligi, where do they argue? Hechi, the samachina, let me ask one. No, you had this tree up there before, and you're going to use it as a lechi. So Abaye says in this situation, it's a good lechi. And Rav says, no, in this situation, even though you're relying on it before Shabbos, it's not a good lechi, because it wasn't made specifically to be a lechi. That's the machlokis. Abaye Amar Havi Lechi. Abaye says, this is a lechi in this situation. The Hasum Chino Lemi Esmol, as I pointed out, he is relying upon it. He says, Erev Shabbos, there's my lechi. However, Rav Amar Lo Havi Lechi, Rav says, it's not a good lechi. Why? Kivin the Meikara Lava Daite the Hachi Avide, because he had originally not planted this tree in order to be a lechi. So therefore, when he was putting this tree there in the first place, whoever put the tree there, it was for a shade, it was for having a tree. Now, he wants to use it as a lechi. Rava says, no good, lo havi lechi. A lechi has to be made intentionally for a lechi, for it to work. The Gemara will explain in a moment what the rationales are behind these two shittas. Gemara says, so the Gemara now wants to assume, which we'll eventually say is incorrect, but right now the Gemara wants to assume that just like Abaye and Rava have a machlokas in regards to a lechi. Abaye says it is a good lechi. Rava says it's not a good lechi if it wasn't made specifically for the purposes of a lechi. Pligi nami mechitza. They had the same machlokas with a mechitza, with a wall, with a block, a physical mechitza. If it was made for mechitza, Rava says it's okay. But if it wasn't made for a mechitza, Rava says it's not good. And Abaye says it's a mechitza, whether it's made for a mechitza or not. So right now, the Gemara wants to suggest that just like they have the same machlokas by lechi, they have the same machlokas by a mechitza. Gemara will have several cases to try to prove that, and eventually we'll say, no, that's incorrect. If a person makes his sukkah between trees, in other words, he's using the trees as the walls of the sukkah. Now here we're not talking about on Yontif or Shabbos where there's a problem with using the tree. We're talking about just using this tree as a regular wall for the sukkah. So you have, you make a sukkah in between the trees. In other words, the trees will be one of the walls or some of the walls of the sukkah. The ilanos defanosla, and the trees are functioning as the walls of the sukkah. Now these trees, lahavamin is, were certainly not planted to be the walls of the sukkah, and yet the Mishnah says, ksheira, this is a perfectly good sukkah. So this is a raya to Abaye that it doesn't make a difference why it was there. As long as you're intending to use it as a wall, it's a good wall. And Rava, who says, no, if you didn't make it as a wall, it's not a good wall. It's a kasha and Rava. Shmuel says, no. You know what we're talking about in this case, in this Mishnah? We have the trees for the walls of the sukkah. This guy has it in his backyard. He says, I don't feel like putting up a sukkah each year. I'm going to put up four trees over here, and I'll have schach in between them, and I have my built-in sukkah automatically there. So in that situation, even Rava would admit, if the trees were made for a wall, so then the trees are a perfectly functional wall. But in a case where the trees were not made for a wall, Rava is okay. It's not a good wall. Where it says, if this were the case, then in fact you planted the trees to be a wall, so then what's the havamin? Why do I need a mission to tell me that a wall is a wall? You planted the trees for being a wall, so of course it's a wall. Why would you need a mission to tell me that? Someone says, no, it's a chiddush here. I might have said on my own, ligzor dilma osi lishtamushe be'ilon. You can use a sukkah. Sukkah always comes out that there's a Shabbos and a yontif of sukkahs that you're going to now have a problem here if you allow such a sukkah that was not a problem now with the walls. The trees were planted for the purpose of walls, so Rava says it's a perfectly good wall, but you're going to have a problem, you might have thought, that this sukkah shouldn't be allowed on the weekdays, the cholamoid of sukkahs, because you may come to use it on Shabbos and Yontif, and you're going to use the wall, Lishtamush B'Ilon. And Rashi explains and reminds us, V'yale V'yitlosh B'Yontif, like we learn in Hilchos Shabbos, you may come to go and pluck a fruit off this tree. Therefore, you're not allowed, maybe, you might have thought, use the walls of a tree, the tree as the walls of a sukkah, even on a weekday, even when you planted it, L'shem Mechitza. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that that wasn't ever a gzeira that the rabbis put into place, and therefore Rava is perfectly okay. The only reason why this Mishnah tells you that the walls of a tree are good, because they were made for Mechitza. But if they weren't made for Mechitza, then Rava would say it would be no good. So no raya that this machlokas that Abai and Rava have by Lechi is also not the same exact machlokas by Mechitza. Try again, the word says, Toshma, Hayisham Ilan, oh God, there, if you have either a tree or a fence, or you have a bunch of reeds. Now this Mishnah is talking about pasi biros. So we'll remind ourselves what that is in a second, but first let's just finish studying what the Raisa says. Nidom mishum diyumen. Each of these, and you see this picture in Rashi, the diagram in Rashi is not drawn to scale, obviously. The space in between is much, much larger than the dios. The dios are these right-angle boards. In each corner, the bar is in the middle, the well is in the middle, and you have these right-angle, one amma by one amma boards in each corner, and then you can have a space, where Bayer said, up to 10 amos in between them. We have the opinion of Rav Yehuda, 13 and a third amos. We'll get to this, Mir Tashem and the Gemara, coming up in a couple of days. In any event, what it says here in this braisa is that even if it's a tree or if it's chitzas hakonim, so they can function as a dio. Now, nidom mishum diyuma, they can function as one of these two right angle boards. So why were these trees planted? Mostamo, they were planted there beforehand. The chitzas hakonim was planted there beforehand, not l'shem mechitza, and yet it works as a mechitza, kashon rava. Shmuel says, no, hachma eskin. And also, just like we said in the previous case with the sukkah, shason mitchilu lekach. No, when the person saw there's a well here, he said, listen, if I put up boards here, they're going to constantly get warped and come down. I'm going to plant a tree over here. I'm going to make a chitzas hakonim. I'm going to make a row of reeds over here, and this way I'll have a permanently restoring wall. It will grow and continue to be here, and I never have to worry about it. And therefore it was made l'shem dio. It was made l'shem mechitza. That's why it's good. But Taka, Rav is right. If in fact it wasn't made l'shem mechitza, then it wouldn't be good. So therefore there's no rai against Rav. Where it says, but if that's the case, so then Yehoche, Maika Mashal. Again, what's the chiddush? To tell me that a wall functions as a wall, if I made it as a wall, so that's obvious. Rav says, no, there's a chiddush over here. What's the chiddush? Kamashal on. The chiddush is, in this situation, chitzas hakonim, that if you have individual reeds, one planted vertically, right next to the other, next to the other, next to the other, kona kona, and if they're pachos b'shloshu tvachim, the space in between each reed is less than three tvachim, this still functions as, in fact, a wall, because of the principle of lavud. Now, this might have been thought to be different in regards to a dio, because a dio, these diumids over here, have so many kulas already involved with them, so you might have thought that you can't use lavud in this situation. As Abaye had asked Rabba, we'll get to this in tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, in a couple of days as well, also, on Daf Yutess. So therefore, one might have thought that this chitzas hakonim is not good. That's why this price is telling us that it is good. So again, Rav is perfectly okay. Only when the chitzas hakonim was made specifically for a wall, does it work as a wall. No kashi yet on rubber. Try again. Toshma, bring another braisa. Ilon ha-nesich al-aretz. If you have a very, very big tree and its leaves hang down so low, so it makes basically a mechitza all around you because the leaves of the tree hang down so low that they go all the way to the ground or within three tvachim of the ground. So ilon ha-nesich al-aretz, if you have a tree that its leaves go all the way down to the ground, so in ein nofo gavoh min aretz gimel tvachim, as long as there's no more than there's less than three tvachim space in between the leaves and the ground, so it's considered like they're on the ground, and you have this tree now functioning as a wall all around you, and metaltulin tachtov, and you're allowed to go and carry underneath this tree. Now, this tree, again, we're assuming, was not made l'shem mechitza, and yet we're allowing you to use it, kashan rovo. So guess what? The Gemara gives the same teretz. Hoch mayaskinon, hoch anami, mayaskinon, you know what we're talking about? The person said, listen, I want to be able to carry my backyard. I'm going to plant this big tree that has these long branches with the leaves coming all the way down to the ground, and that's why I'm making a mechitza. So it's l'shem mechitza. It's perfectly good. Mori asked the same question. So then you should be allowed to carry underneath the entire tree. Wherever there's this mechitza, it should be good. So maybe that is the case. Mori says, that's not true. Why did Rav Huna, who's the son of Rav Yeshua, say the following? ein metaltelin bo el a beis osaim. You're only allowed to go and carry under this tree if it's smaller than a beis osaim. A beis osaim is two swords, 50 by 100 amud dimensions. This is learned out from the Mishkan, and this is a specifically an important area that is used for dira purposes, for living purposes. So Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, said that if this tree is not larger than a beis osayim, so then you're allowed to go and carry under the entire tree. But if it's more than a beis osayim, you're not allowed to. But if it was made l'shem mechitza, why should this make any difference? Why, even if it's a beis osayim or more, you should be allowed to carry under it? So it's a kasha on Rava. Shmuel says, no, it's not a kasha. Mishum de heavy dira shetashmisho la'avir, because this is an outdoor area. And an outdoor area is different than an indoor area. You want to make a big palace, you can make a palace that's 5 miles by 5 miles. You can make a huge indoor structure, and you can carry it within the entire indoor structure. But here, underneath this tree, so it's an outdoor structure. And there is a rule, Rav Huna Brei Yeshua tells us, that if something is a dira, shetashmisho la'avir, if it's made for outdoor purposes, so then there are limitations in how big it can be. The whole dira, shetashmisho la'avir, any outdoor type of a structure, there is a limit in how much you can enclose and still carry within it. You're only allowed to use a base asayim. If you have more than a base asayim, then it's not going to be allowed to be carried under. So again, no kasha on Rava. Rava could say that this tree was made specifically l'shem mechitza, and if it wasn't made l'shem mechitza, you wouldn't be allowed to carry under it. Again, Rava is perfectly okay at this point. Try again, Gemara says, Toshma. Now here we're going to finally slug up Rava. Or at least this idea that Rava holds that a mechitza, unless it's made l'shem mechitza, is no good. Here we have another brisa. Shavas b'sel. A sel, a tail, is a mound of earth. It's a Hebrew word and an English word, and probably an Aramaic word. So shavas b'sel, if a person goes and he is having his shvisa on Shabbos on a tail. Now a tail is a mound of earth. So here he's talking about Shehu Gavoa Asara. This mound of earth is more than 10 tefachim above the rest of the surrounding ground, so it functions as a mechitza itself. And Behu Me Arba Amos V'Yad Beis Asayim. And it's of a dimension that it's between 4 Amos and a Beis Asayim. So it's, even if it's Dira Shetashmish La'avir, it's less than a Beis Asayim. So this is a valid area to carry because the mound itself is a mechitza from the surrounding ground that's lower than a 10 tefachim at least, and it's between 4 Amos and a Beis Asayim. So it's a Dira Shetashmish La'avir, not more than a Beis Asayim. Why do you have to tell me that it can't be less than 4 Amos? So Rashi points out, obviously, if it's less than 4 Amos, then you don't need anything to carry within it because you're allowed to carry Dalet Amos. So even if this is Rosh HaSarabim and it has no walls around it, you'd still be allowed to carry within it Dalet Amos. That's how much you're allowed to carry in Rosh HaSarabim. So that's why it says, if it's more than 4 Amos, because now you need a mechitza, and up to the Beis Asayim, it's perfectly good. Now, this is talking about something, ultimately the question will be, that is not man-made. You don't plant a tail, so you don't make it l'shem mechitza. It exists by itself, without being intentionally made for mechitza. This will be a kasha on rubber that will be insurmountable. Likewise, b'chein b'neka, you have a hole in rocks, shu amuk asara. So again, you have this hole in the ground, a cave of some sort, and it is obviously deeper than 10 tefachim, so that wall now is a wall, valid wall. And again, hume arba amos v'ad beis asayim, and it's the right dimensions, it's the dirish etashmish la'avir, so it can't be more than beis asayim, and it's not. It's between 4 amos. Again, you need to tell me 4 amos, because less than 4 amos you can carry there even if you don't have a mechitza. So it's between 4 amos and a beis asayim, and we'll see, it's perfectly good to carry within this. Now also, this isn't something that a person makes. This is made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a hole in the ground. And therefore, there's no way you could say, and this would be the kasha and rubber, that it was made l'shem mechitza. No, it existed on its own. Now, can it function as a mechitza? And it certainly can. That's going to be the kasha and rubber. In any event, the third part here is v'koma. You have a field of grain, kitzura, that most of the grain has been harvested. However, around the perimeter, v'shibolis makifos, so you left some of the grain around the perimeter. So in this situation, can you carry within this enclosure? So mahalach is kula v'chuzula apayamama. You can carry within this. It's all considered a carrying area, and it's all considered one dalet amos, so your tum starts at the edge where the perimeter of the grain still exists, and then you can carry from there 2,000 amos, like a regular tum. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, this is a kasha and rava, because all of these were there beforehand. So you're going to tell me, v'chi temo, hochanami, like we said in the previous cases, shosim itchilu l'kach. No, rava would say that we're talking here that was specifically made for a mechitza, so that works great for the grain. Bishlomo komo l'chai. So the word L'chai here doesn't mean l'chai. It means that's good. We have this throughout Shas. L'chai means like l'chaim almost. Yeah, that's perfectly good. Bishlam the karma, so that could have been specifically planted and then cut down and harvested to make a wall. So that works out fine. However, elotel v'neka, the mound of earth or the hole in the ground, those are naturally made. They weren't made the same mechitza by a person. So this is a kashan rava. If you want to tell me that rava argues with the mechitza, just like he argues with the lechi, this proves that. So Gemara says, you're taker, right, after everything is said and done. Alibi mechitza, so in regards to a mechitza, kuli amalo pligi, the heavy mechitza, whether you intended it to be made as a mechitza, or it's de facto, it now is a mechitza, a wall is a wall is a wall. And therefore, even Rava admits that a mechitza, whether it was made l'shem mechitza or not made l'shem mechitza, is a perfectly good mechitza. And it's not paralleling the machlokas by lechi. But Rava does disagree, ki pligi b'lechi. He says, a lechi, and we'll see why in a moment, is not going to be a good, valid lechi unless it was specifically made for the purposes of a lechi. Whereas Abaye says, whether you made it l'shem lechi or not, it's a perfectly good lechi if it's a perfectly good lechi. Now we have to understand why are they arguing in regards to lechi. So Gemara says, Abaye holds that it's a perfectly good lechi, whether you intended it for a lechi or not, is Abaye l'taimei. Dama lechi mishum mechitza. Abaye is perfectly okay because he says the whole reason why the rabbi said that a lechi can work to enclose the fourth wall of a mavui halachically is because it works like it's enclosing the fourth wall. It functions as a mechitza. And as we just pointed out, a mechitza doesn't have to be made l'shem mechitza. It's a mechitza. It's a wall. So too, this lechi functions as a wall and therefore it's perfectly good. That's what Abaye says. Mechitza, asu yamei aleha, having mechitza, as we just learned. However, Rava l'taimei, Rava says, no, I disagree. Rava says, d'yom alechi mishum heker. Why did the rabbis allow you to use a lechi? Because they're concerned. You're going to forget yourself. This area, this mavi, looks very much like the Rishus HaRabim. If you can carry it, you can carry it into the Rishus HaRabim. So the rabbis came along and said, you make some sort of a heker. You have to make something recognizable here to prevent you from carrying from the mavi into the Rishus HaRabim and vice versa. Therefore, it has to be something that's recognizable. If you made it, so therefore, it's going to be recognizable. But if it's something that's naturally made on its own, it's not going to be recognizable. Therefore, if you didn't make it specifically l'shem lechi, lo heve heker. It's not going to function as a heker. People can say, that's a tree. They're not going to think, why is that tree there? They can say, because trees are around. And therefore, Rava says, a lechi that's not made l'shem lechi doesn't work. Okay, that's the understanding of the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Now, we're going to try to show that this is that Rava's opinion is incorrect. Toshma, we're going to bring a following brisa to try to disprove Rava. Avne geder, hayotzos min hagoder. If you have a jagged wall, so the wall has the interlocking bricks, so you have bricks that are on a different, not one right on top of the other, they're always a little bit off to the side, so there'll be a sturdy wall. And you have this jagged wall. You can see diagrams of this in the art scroll, in the Pirushai, in the Illustrated Gemara. So you have this jagged wall that is Muvdalos Zumizu Pokus Mishlosha, that each of the bricks is within three tvachim of each of the other bricks. Now, this wall is coming into the fourth side of the Mavui, and if all of these bricks are within three tvachim of each other, then the principle of love would applies, and you now have a lachi over here functioning in the fourth wall. So as long as the bricks are moved dollars, zoom, zoom, pachos, bishlosha, so the principle of lover can apply, ein tzarech lechi acher. This functions as a good lechi. However, shlosha, if they're more than three tvachim apart, tzarech lechi acher, then you have to make another lechi, because this can't function as a lechi, because it's a broken up lechi. A lechi has to be 10 tvachim tall, and here you don't have a lechi that's 10 tvachim tall. Now, what do we see from here? That if it is lovewood, they're within three tvachim each other, it's a perfectly good lechi. Now, this wall was not made l'shem lechi. This wall was there when they built it, and it has a jagged edge, and it extended into the fourth side. But it wasn't made, that's the assumption right now, it wasn't made to be a lechi, and yet it's perfectly good. Araya to Abaye, Kashan Rava. So Rava would respond. He says, no, Hochamai Eskini, you know what we're talking about over here? Hochanami, Shebinon Mitchilo Lekach. No, they made this as a lechi. That's why Rava says it's good. Rava says, again, same question we had before by the Mechitzas. So then, what's the Chiddush? If something's made as a lechi, we all know it's good. Everybody says that it's good. What do you need a brisa to tell me that it's good? So no, Moses says there's a chiddush. Rava would reply, there's a big chiddush over here. Ma'od Tema might have said, "Lemesar binyanu davida." Why would you make a wall with a jagged edge over here? It's so you can connect it to the next wall that you want to extend it to. If you want to build out, you want to expand, it's all ready to be expanded. If you had the wall flush, so then it's very difficult to expand to it and to make it sturdily attached. That's why you want the interlocking bricks, one not directly on top of the other. So you're preparing here for future expansion. So ma'u detema l'meisa binyanu davida, that I did this so I'll be able to go, Rashi explains, and make another building over here easily in the future. Shem yirtza, Rashi says, top line, and the wider lines of Rashi, Shem Yirtza Lasos Mechitza Mikoto Zeh Lekoto Shekinegdo. If I want to go and build on and expand from this wall to another wall, Yiskasher Biavonim Halolu. It'll be very easy to go and attach it with these jagged bricks over here. Shekain Derech Habanoim. This is the way builders build. Lasos, to make it in this way. Ubininach, if they didn't make it in this way, En Yochol Davik Binin Chodesh Bibinin Noshin. You wouldn't be able to collect the new building to the old building. So this was made for expansion purposes. Therefore, it was made Bidafka over here for of expansion purposes, but it was made for now for the lechi. So you might have thought that having it also for expansion purposes ruins it. Kamash v'lam, that it doesn't. Rav is okay. Try again. Toshma, the Tani Ruchi learned the following brisa. Kosel shetzido echod konus mechavero. Now, we had this earlier on Daf Tes, and that's where all the diagrams off of this and the illustrated Gemara, the Pirush Chai, and in the art scroll in the footnotes. So you have basically this wall that is not a complete wall. It's split somewhat in the middle, and it could be split on the inner aspect or it can be split on the outer aspect. One side is broken up. It has a shorter side to it. So, whether this is visible only from the outside, somebody looking at it from the inside won't be able to tell that there's a difference between the two parts of the wall, or the other way around. It's only visible from the inside. From the outside, you wouldn't see it. It's two separate parts of the wall. So this functions as lechi. Nida mishum lechi. Now, again, this seems to say that it wasn't made l'shem lechi, so Abai is fine that it works perfectly well as a lechi, but it's a kasha on Rava again. Someone says, no, Rava would say no. Again, here, hochanami, the same situation, it was made specifically over here as a lechi. Obvious question again. What's the chiddush? Everybody knows it's made for a lechi. It's a perfectly good lechi. So Rabbi would say, no, there's a chiddush over here. And the chiddush is nira mi b'chutz v'shav mifnim. If a lechi is only visible from the outside, but from the inside, people wouldn't realize it. So you might have thought that that's not a good lechi. Oh, this answers the machlokas that we had earlier on Daf Tes. Nido mishum lechi. In fact, it functions as a lechi. That's what Rabbi says is the chiddush. But don't tell me anything about it. It's not made l'shem lechi. It's no good. Rabbi would say, that's my shita, and it's intact. No problem. Try again. Toshma, the Gemara says, the Maisa Shoya, the Rab, Havi Yosef Al Mavo. Rab was once sitting by a Mavui, and Havi Yosef Rapuna Kame, and Rapuna was sitting with him. Amalei Shamesh, so Rab goes and tells his assistant, his Shamesh, Zil Aisili Kuzu de Maya, give me a drink of water, please. So bring some water for me and Rapuna. So the servant goes and brings the water. But by the time he comes back, Adda Asa, he comes back now into this mavoi, nofa lechya. The wind blew down the lechi, and now there's no lechi by this mavoi. So you're not allowed to carry this mavoi. So Rav tells the servant, achmile biyode, he motions with his hand, kom aduchte, stand still. You're not allowed to move. You can't carry the water anymore because there's no longer a appropriately matired mavoi. So you have to stop. So Rafun is surprised by this. Amalei Rafun says to his Rebbe, Rav, doesn't the Rebbe hold? Again, this is the right way you're supposed to ask a Rebbe a question when you think the Rebbe is doing something wrong. Lo sovel amar lismoch hadikla. There was a tree over there. So there was a lechi that they had put up, but there also was a tree there. Now the lechi fell down. So Rav Huna said, okay, so the lechi fell down. Why can't we use the tree? We still got the tree. That's what Rav Huna asks Rav. Rav is very surprised at this response, and he says, oh my, Rav says back to Rav Huna, Dami Haimi Rabbanon. He says, it appears that this rabbi, meaning he's talking to Rav Huna, Kemanda Lo Parshi in Shishmaita, like he didn't understand and learn this Gemara well, because we already learned earlier in the Shia today, Misamchina Nalem Yesmo. We're very top of the Yomar. We said that everybody agrees, both Abaya and Rav agreed, that if there was a lechi there and a tree, and you're relying on the lechi, and the lechi fell down, then the tree is no good, according to even Abaya. Everybody says it's no good in that situation. So, what in the world are you suggesting over here, Rav Huna, that we should rely upon the tree? Nobody holds you can rely upon the tree. Gemara says, now we're being the right against Rava. The reason why this tree isn't good is because we weren't somechid on it before Shabbos, because we had the lechi to be somechid on. But the implication is that if there wasn't the lechi there, we could be somechid on the tree, exactly like Abaya says, Kashan Rava, Hosam Chinon Heavy Lechi. If we had relied upon it, it would be a good Lechi. That's a Kashan Rava. You said that unless it's made the same Lechi, that it's not a good Lechi. Well, says maybe not. Maybe they're actually arguing on this point. What you just said, Rav Huna, was wrong. Maybe Leima Abai Rav Vilosam Chinu LePligi. Maybe they're in fact arguing. Maybe Abai would say that even in a situation where you were relying upon it, it's still good. And Rav says no. In that situation, it's not good. And then Hosam Chinu Ale Havilechi. It's only in a situation we are samech on it that it's a good lechi. Now, exactly like Rava says, and we turn the tables and it's a kash on Abaye. Rashi says, why are we assuming that this is incorrect? Because we know the halacha is like Abaye. This is one of the six exceptions. We're going to learn Yal Kagam, the six exceptions. The lamed stands for lechi, at least according to Rashi. And therefore, the Gemara knows what the answer is. We're going to pass it like Abaye. So it doesn't want to suggest that this way of learning it would end up passing like Rava. So Gemara says, don't think this way. Lo sol kadaitoch. This way of thinking is incorrect. In this situation, I'll show you that that's not true. The whole barka, there was a barka. Rashi says that's a yitzia. It's like a porch-like structure that was being supported by a beam. The Hava Bay Baruchavu, the house of Baruchavu, Baruchavu is the name of a person, and he had this beam, which could be a lechi if you looked at it from that point of view, that was supporting the porch. So, the Hava Pligi Bay Abaye V'Rava Kuli Shnayu. Abaye and Rava were arguing about whether this was a good muffler or not, their whole careers, their whole lives. And you clearly see that this was a situation where they were somech on it. It was made in this situation to be used as a lechi. And Abai says, therefore, it's perfectly good. And Rava says, it's not good. So you see, if they rely upon it, that's what they have the machlokas, and therefore, you can't suggest that this is a kasha on Abai. In fact, it's a kasha on Rava. And this is one of the six situations where we end up passing like Abai over Rav. Normally pass like Rav over Abai with the six exceptions, with the mnemonic Yal Kagam, as Rashi points out. And this, according to Rashi, the Lamed is Lechi. Now we begin the new Mishnah. Bakol Osin Lechian. You're allowed to make a Lechi out of any material. Afilu b'davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim. Even a living animal. So if you want to tie your horse there or tie your cow over there, this is a perfectly valid Lechi according to the Tanakhama. Even though it's alive. Not talking about a dead animal. Talking about a live animal can function as a lechi. As long as it's 10 tefachim high, so it's functioning as a lechi. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe Oser. Rebbe says, you cannot do this. He holds it. Something that is alive. We'll see this in the Gemara. Isn't able to function as a lechi. On the side, the gears in the Mishnais is that it should be Rav Yossi Omer. In any event, the mayor, Rav Yossi, they say it's no good. Furthermore, since it is in fact, the Tanakhama says, a good lechi, so then, umetami mishum gola, it can also function, this live animal can function to be the cover of a grave. That's Rashi's understanding of gola. Tosus throughout Shas says, the machlokas with Rashi, Tosus seems to say some sort of a headstone rather than actually covering the grave. In any event, this golel is normally an inanimate object that can accept tumma. So the Tanakhama holds that just like the animal is alive, it can be a lechi, so too the animal can function over here as the golel, and even though animals normally can't accept tumah, the exception of man. Man's the only animal that can become tummy while he's alive. Animals normally only become tummy when they're dead. This is an exception to the rule that the live animal, if it's functioning as a gola, can accept tumah. And Rashi points out, this is even if you move it. Even if the animal then moves away, it retains its status of being tummy. As Rashi says, afilu nid tal misham, even if it goes away from there, it still retains its status. So turn to the Yomid Beis. However, Rav Meir's Matar, Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir lushita. So the Gemara in Sukkah, Rashi tells us that the reasoning of Rav Meir is he holds that kol mechitza medes beruah chayim enu mechitza. Anything that is standing up because it's alive can function as a mechitza. So this works l'kula and l'chumra. It can't work as a lechi, that's l'chumra. It doesn't work as a lechi. But as a kula, it can't function as a gola. And therefore, it is in fact not going to be metame. That's the opinion of Rav Meir, arguing with the Tanakhama. Furthermore, the Mishnah states, "V'kosin ulav gitei noshim." You could write a get on an animal and give it over to the woman, and that would be a kosher get according to the Tanakhama. Again, a live animal is not a problem. For Rav Yossi, Aglili posa. Rav Yossi says it's no good, and the Gemara will explain what the machlokus is about. Let's start the Gemara now. Gemara starts and says, "Tani, we learn in a brisa, Rebbei Romer." Rebbei says, "Kol davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim, anything that is alive, ain't osin oso lo dofen l'sukkah, can function as a wall of a sukkah, because it's alive." Again, as we brought down from the Gemara in Sukkah, because if it's standing up because of the ruach chai, because of life, so then it can't function as a mechitza. So it can't function as the wall for a sukkah, a live cow, a horse, or something like that. The lechi mavui, it can't function as the lechi to matu the mavui, as we just had in our Mishnah. And it can't function lo pasin le biros. It can't be one of the diumids. It can't be one of the two right angle walls. You put a cow over there, and you tie it down. It has to be tied down, because if it can move away, so then everybody agrees it's no good. But if you tie it down, so then it can function according to Rav Meir. It cannot function as a diyumot. The Tanakama of Rav Meir says it can. Likewise, a low gola lekever. It doesn't have tuma as a gola for a kever. And in addition, the Brisa says what we had in my Mishnah. Mishum Yosef Lili Lamru Af in Kosin Lov Gitin Noshav. Yosef Lili adds an additional statement about the live animal that you can't use it to write a divorce. And give that then the cow to the woman that you wrote on it, the nusach of the divorce. What's the reasoning? My time of the Riosik Lili. How come Gemara asks, Riosik Lili says you can't write on the live animal? Why not? So the Gemara says, we'll explain this in the following brisa, the Tanya. The Pasuk tells us that you have to write a safer krisus. Safer, the Gemara says, the Pasuk tells us, in Liel safer. That would imply that you have to write a safer. It has to be on cloth. It has to be a document. Minayin l'rabo is called over. How do we know that that comes to include even things that aren't a cloth, even things that aren't a safer? Anything is called a safer, including a live animal. So the Tanakhama says, Tamalom, because of law, mikol makom. You can write it for the woman to get because of law. It says, mikol makom, any place. So then, imkein, ma tamalom a safer. So why do you need the word safer then? If you can write it any place, just write because of law and if it can be a live animal, so then you can write just kosev law, and that would be fine. What's the purpose of writing sefer? Alom Allah, according to Riosei Glili, it comes to teach us, ma sefer is a dover shein baruah chayim veino ochel. A sefer is, by definition, something that's not alive, and also something that's not a food. So therefore, those are the parameters that define what you can kosev law on. And therefore, according to Riosei Glili, I've called dover shein baruah chayim veino ochel. The sefer krisis that you give to the woman cannot be something that has life in it, and it can't be something that's considered a food. And that's the pasuk that Yosef Glili uses to support his shita. Now, the Chacham argue with Yosef Glili. So what do they do with this? The Rabbanan, what do they do with the drash that Yosef Glili just said? So the Chacham argue, what does the word say? It says sefer krisis. It doesn't say ba sefer. It means if ba sefer, they say you have to write it in this sefer. It says you have to write a sefer. So therefore, the drash on the word sefer comes to be marbe l'sfirus dvarim bi'almahud yasa. It comes to tell us that you have to write down the formula the Chazal said has to be written down. You have to write down that so-and-so is divorcing so-and-so and it means that she's free forever and that there's no connection anymore and et cetera, et cetera. So you have to write the nusach of the get. That's what it means by sefer. If it wanted to tell you that you have to write it in something that wasn't alive, and you have to write it in something that wasn't a food, it would have said bas sefer. The fact that it doesn't say bas sefer, that's not a chacham darshan now, the way they do that you could write it on a live animal even. No. Rabbanon, hi, because of law, then my darshibay. Now, because of law was needed by Riosi Glili to tell us that there's certain things you can write it on, certain things you can't write it on, and the sefer defined what you can write it on, what you can't write it on. Going to the chachamim, why do you need because of law? So Rabbanon, hi, because of law, my darshibay, what do they use that for? They don't need it like Riosi Glili does. So Gemara says, how me boile, the chacham would need it for the following drasha, b'chsiva miskareshes. The woman is divorced through the act of kesiva, of writing the get and giving it to her. The act of the mesira of this get is what divorces the woman. But you might have thought that money could also divorce a woman, so therefore you need over here the kasev law, the eino miskareshes b'kesef, and the woman is not able to be divorced with kesef. Why would you have a havamina that if you give a woman $100, she's divorced? Because so kedai techaminach, I might have thought, just like she comes into the marriage with money, so too she goes out of the marriage money. Ho, v'iskash yitzia l'avaya. We have a connection in the Torah between coming into the marriage and going out of the marriage. So just like mahavaya b'kesef, just like you can come into the marriage, the kesef kiddushin is a valid way to be makadish a woman, so av yitzia b'kesef, I might have thought that so too gerushin, when it's unfortunately necessary to be done, you can divorce a woman with money as well. So the chiddush is, because of law is the only way you can divorce a woman, and we don't make this hackish between coming into the marriage and going out of the marriage. That's why the chacham need the words because of law, and that's why we need the word sefer to teach me that it must be the nusach that Chazal set up. You know, these are nice drushes. What does Rav Yosef Glili do with these drushes? How does he learn them? Rav Yosef Glili, how does he know these drushes? He doesn't disagree with them. Right, if you disagree with them, so then be simple. He doesn't agree with them. But he also holds in these drushes that you can't divorce a woman with money, that you have to divorce a woman with the nusach of the get, and it must be a safer as opposed to money. So Veriosi Glili, high swarm, you know, where does he learn this from? Swar says he learns it out from Nafkale, mi safer krisus. He learns it out from the words safer krisus, that it has to be safer korsa. The actual get is from the safer, vein dova acher korsa, and nothing else divorces her, i.e., money can't divorce her. So now we turn the tables and throw it back on the Rabbana. No, so Rabbi Yosef Lili is darshing it from Sefer Krisus. Where do you darshan from? What are you darshan those words? Rabbanan, hi Sefer Krisus in Boyle. Why can't you darshan it like Rabbi Yosef Lili? You have extra words over here. So Gemara says, the Chamin, they darshan it, Ledover HaKoreis Beino Leveino. It has to be something that totally separates this husband from this wife. It has to be a complete absolution of their marriage. And it can't be any retention of the marriage. That's why it has to be Krisus. It has to be totally separating them one from the other. And this is learned in a Braisa, L'chadetanya. HaReiz HaGitech, if a man gives a get to his wife, Nebuch, Al Menash Shalo Tish Deyayin. He says, you can have this get, we're divorced, but with the one caveat that you're never allowed to drink wine again. Or he says, Al Menash Shalo Telch Lebeis Avich, you can't go back to your father's house. So he gives her the get on these conditions. So if these gets are permanent conditions, la'olam, if this get has no time limit to this condition. So the man says, you are divorced, but you're never allowed to drink wine ever again. You're never allowed to go to your father's house ever again. So this is a tonight, it's part of the get, but it's still retaining a connection because she's not allowed to do something. So she's retained somehow under the husband's jurisdiction, so ein zekrisus. That's not called a bill of divorce. That's not called something that totally is kares, that totally separates them, and therefore it's not a valid get. However, if it's a time-dependent get, so you're allowed to give a get out tonight. So if he says, kol shlosh yom, you can't drink any wine for the next 30 days, so at the end of the 30 days, she is divorced. Harei zekrisus, that is a valid get. So that's what the chacham needs, say for krisus, to teach us this thing. No, now we throw it back to Rosh Yaglili. Where do you learn this thing? You also agree that it has to be a permanent severance between the husband and the wife. If it's not a full krisus, then you also agree they're not divorced. So where do you learn it from? So Rosh Yaglili, he says, nafkele, instead of saying the word Kares, it could have said Sefer Kares, it says Sefer Krisus. So therefore, he can learn out both these drushes from Kares and Krisus, from this double Lashon, so he can learn out this drusha and the previous drusha. No, the Rabbanon, they also now have a double Lashon Krisus. What do? Rabbanon, Kares, Krisus, no dashi. They say, no, that's not an extra valid drusha. The word Kares or the word Krisus is the same thing, and you don't learn an extra thing from it, and that's how you can have a machlokas over here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef Lili, each darshing these psukim in a slightly different way, and each one of these tanoim has support from Chumash to support their shita. Next Mishnah. Shayara, if you have a caravan was the way they used to travel in those days. It was very dangerous to go on the open roads for numerous reasons, and they would go in groups, and we had strength in numbers. So they would go on these caravans, and then the caravans would be traveling, and they would stop for Shabbos. So they didn't stop in a beautiful hotel. They stopped wherever they were traveling, in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the wilderness. So they would encircle the caravans and make a mechitza around their encampment, right? To circle the wagons. So Shayara, this group of people that are traveling together, Shechon Sobevika, and they're encamped out in the middle of the field, in the middle of this valley, the Ikifua Klei Behemo. So they take all the utensils from their animals, they take all the things that they don't need for Shabbos, and they set it around them in a mechitza. So this is perfectly good. Metaltal Mesocha, this is a perfectly valid mechitza. Ubavad, however, as long she got there, Gavoa, Asara Tvachim, as long as the things that they're putting out there are at least 10 Tvachim tall. For a mechitza to be a mechitza, it must be at least 10 Tvachim tall. So they take out all the accoutrements of the animals over here, the saddlebags, all the saddles, all the reins, etc., the wagons, and they put them around their encampment, as long as it's a 10 tefach high wall, so it's a perfectly valid wall, and they can carry them within there as a reshus hayachid, assuming if there's more than one people. They make also an Erev Chatzeres, but this is the physical part. They'll also have to make the halachic idea that they're all one in order for them to carry the rabban. Below you, pirutzos, yiseres al habinyan, but they have to be careful that if there are any gaps in between all the accoutrements that they put out of the animals, that those spaces aren't more than the actual bags and wagons that they put out there. So you're allowed to have a little space in between them. So as long as that space is less than the actual binyan, the actual accoutrements of the animals, so then it is a perfectly valid mechitza. This concludes and then says, "Kol pirtza sheik eser amos muteres." In general, any breach in the wall, as long as it's under 10 amos, is considered a door. It's considered an entranceway and doesn't ruin the validity of the mechitza. Again, that's assuming that you have overall more omeid than you have parutz. That we learned previously. If the omeid isn't more than the parutz, if you have 10 amas of space, 9.9 amas of space, and you have one am of wall, so that's a special din that we said by the diyumot, by the pasi biros, but that won't work normally. So here, as long as the breach is less than 10 amos, you have more wall than breach, so then that's a perfectly good mechitza. Why? Because we view the breach in this situation, as long as it's under 10 amos, as being a doorway. Yes, it become, but any breach, no matter how much wall you have, but if you have a breach more than 10 amos, you have to do something to it. You have to be reminded, like we learned in the first Mishnah. Otherwise, also, you're not allowed to carry in that area. Gemara starts off and says, "It." We learn parutz kiomed. What happens if the parutz, the breach, the space, is the exact same side as the omed? Again, the words that we always use for wall are omed, substantive is omed, and parutz is space. So what happens if the space is exactly the same size as the wall? So here we have a machlokis. Rapapa mar mutter. Rapapa says that's good. If it's 50-50, that's good because you have you don't have a situation. We have more space than wall. Oh, it's exactly the same. It's fine. As long as that space is not 10 amos, then you're okay. Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, he says, no, you must require more wall. And if it's 50-50, it's no good. What's it based upon? Rav Papa says that if it's 50-50, it's okay. Because he says, this is the way the halacha l'moshe Messina came down to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hokni agmer rei rechmon l'moshe. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, lo tifrots ruba, do not have more space than wall. Implication being, 50-50 is good. Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua Amar Rasa, he said, no, the halacha l'moshe Messina was learned out in the following way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, hachi akmer rei rechmon l'moshe, the following is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, gidor ruba, you have to make a fence for most of it. In other words, 50-50 is no good. So each of them is saying, this is how the halacha l'moshe Messina came down. Now the Gemara says, and we learned in our very Mishnah, it says, lo you pirtzos, yeseris al binyan, you're not allowed to spaces more than the structure, more than the wall. The implication being, if it's 50-50, ha, kib binyan, it would be mutter. So this is a raya to Rav Papa and Akash against Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood it. Don't read our Mishnah that way. Lo, tema, don't read our Mishnah with the implication, ha, kib binyan mutter, but instead read it that ela ema, im binyan yaser ala pirtza mutter. He would say that the only way it's good is if the binyan is more than the pirtza. 50-50 would not be good. And that's Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua shita, no problem. He says, I'm following the Mishnah like me. Where it says, avo ka binyan, my, what would be the halacha if it's 50-50 based upon this? According to you, it would be yaser. So then why didn't it say so? Hehachi lisne, it would have been better to teach us this by saying, lo yu pirtzos ka binyan. If you wanted to teach us this, then say beferish that the 50-50 case is no good. If the pirtza is the same as the binyan, it's no good. So it would have been much better for your shita of Huna b'Rei Yeshua if it said it beferish rather than by implication. Where says akasha, yeah, the taka, it would have been better for his shita, but it's not a tiyufta. There's a way to get out of the answer. The Gemara doesn't think it's important enough to go through that answer right now. But yeah, it would have been better for his shita if it had said beferish that lo yu pirtzos ka binyan rather than by implication implying his shita. Versus Toshma, we have another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamekore Sukoso. This is a Mishnah Sukkah where it says, if you want to put the schach up on your Sukkah and you have Shpudin o Aruchos Hamita, in as the base for the holding up the schach, you have metal spits or you have the springs or the boards of a bed, which are metal, and none of these are good as schach, of course. So you now put them up and you want to put the schach in between them. So, Im Yesh Rabach Beneim Kamosan. If there is an equal amount of space for schach in between these spits or these frame of the bed, so then it's a kosher schach, a kosher schukah, ksheva. Now, this seems to say 50-50 is good. Ah, Rav Papa is fine. But Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, he seems to be against this. He says 50-50 is no good, but in sukkah it says that 50-50 is good. So Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua would answer, hachem mayaskina, no, we're talking about, no, kishenichnas v'yotzei. It's not 50-50. As Rashi says, Shiheshpud Yochol Likonis Velate Berevach Shabin Time. You want to be able to put in, when you're putting out the roof, you're laying out the roof and then you're removing, so to say, every other one. You want to be able to take them out easily. So it's actually more space than there is actual spit or frame of the bed. So it's not 50-50, it's really 51-49. And you're doing this to make it easy to go and make the space in between there, Kishenich Nasiyot, so you can easily move in or move out. Or it says, but wait a second, for Efshalot Samsei, but you could make it 50-50. The Mishnah doesn't say that that would be no good. So from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say you could make it 51-49, but it implies you could even do it 50-50, it's the Lakasha and Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua. So we have two terutz. Amar Ravami, Ravami gives the first terutz, b'ma'adif. No, you know what we're talking about? That it's not 50-50, it's 51-49. As Rashi explains in Omar Ravami, Masdisin below Tzimtzim, you're not making it exact. El b'madif revach yoser mishur shpudin. You're specifically making the spaces a little bit more than the spit, and it says kishir shpudin b'nichnas v'yotze because it wants to teach us this idea that you want to make it easy to take it in and out, and therefore it's 51-49 by definition. So that's Ravami's teretz. Don't think it's 50-50. It's not a kasha of Huna b'Rei Yeshua. 50-50 would be no good, but that's not talking about a case of 50-50. Teretz number one. Now, that has a little bit of a problem with it, that why not? Well, it doesn't really fully answer the question. So Rava gives a different terence. Rava Amar, im hayu nisunim erev, nos no shasi. If it was shasi, nos no erev. He says the spits are going in one direction. So let's say they're all going in the shasi direction. All the spits are laid vertically. And then you put the schach horizontally across it. Now here, by definition, you're going to have more schach than you are going to have the spits, because the schach has to be overlaid on the spits or else it will fall through. So therefore, by definition, you have more schach than you have spit, and it's batel the spits, it's mavatel the spits, and therefore, that's why the Mishnah says it's good. But not because it's 50-50. It's because you actually have more schach than you have spit. Now, it could be either that the spits are Erev and you're putting the schach shesi, or the spits are shesi and you're putting the schach Erev. So it doesn't make a difference. It's in a checkerboard type of arrangement. And therefore, by definition, Rashi explains, you're going to have more schach than you are spit, and that's why it's a kasher sukkah. Try again. Mor says, Toshma, try to bring a ride for the following braisa. You have, again, a shiara, you have a caravan, shechonsu v'bikka, that encamped in the bikka for Erev Shabbos, and now they put their ring around them. V'kifua b'gmalet, they use the camels as part of the ring around them. B'yukofos, they use the saddles of the camel. Furthermore, we go to Yom Aleph, they use ba'avitin. Ba'avitin, Rashi says, these avitin are kar, shetachas okaf a camel. They're like a cushion that's underneath the saddle of the camel to stop the camel from rubbing on its back. And bishlifin, and you're also talking about masos, or burdens. You're talking about various things that they're carrying. So this is all your encampment over here. Alternatively, you're also doing bekonim bekolochos. You're doing it with various types of reeds, or with various types of kloche yirakos, the stalks of grains, of vegetables. The kalkul masocha, if you encircle the camp with this, you'll have to go carry within the entire camp. However, the Bryce states, you can't have the space of a camel in between the camels. In other words, it can't be 50% wall and 50% space. Likewise, in between the saddles, you can't have the space of a saddle. If it's 50-50, it's no good. Likewise, if you have these various types of pillows, you can't have the space of a pillow exactly in between two pillows. In other words, what this Bryce is saying is if 50-50 is no good, kashon refunim b'rei reshu. So Gemara gives the same terrace as before. Hochanami over here as well. It's a little bit more space. Kishenichsas v'yotzi. You want to be able to easily move in saddlebags. You're arranging the saddlebags, so you put them all out, and then you take away every other one, and this way you have enough saddlebags to go around. So you want to be able to take it in and take it out easily, so therefore it's slightly bigger. It's really 51-49. Everybody agrees 51-49 is good, as long as there is no breach that's more than 10 amos. This is a good break point, but we're in the middle still of the discussion, trying to find rayas to Rav Papa and or Rav Huna, Brei Yeshua, and or to prove them wrong. Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick this up tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.